There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's see if we can plug in live to Diff. I think we can. NLT, is it Liquid Jewel Sort today?
Well, NLT is actually just off at the moment. She's gallivanting at the moment, I can say. Right. Looking tremendous yet again, as you would expect. Not quite licorice or sort today. I'll let her describe her dress to you shortly. She's just having a little wander down the red carpet at the moment, which I can tell you is a hive of activity, even though it doesn't actually open until 5:30 this evening for the film On Chesil Beach by Dominic Cook. But preparations well underway with various different production teams, getting all the cameras and the equipment ready. There's the stressed area where getting all, it's by Bazaar, they're getting all that ready, prepared at the moment. And I can just tell you as well, I didn't notice this last night, but there's a traditional old school Mini Cooper that I've just noticed to the left of our booth here. It might just have been put in today. And you know what it reminds me of? Because I know that you've got the guys, the automotive guys in at the moment. It just reminds me instantly of the Italian Job. The original, of course, not the kind of remake, which we won't talk about. The original film. So I'm going to have a little check out of that shortly in a bit. But no, it's a wonderful already here, down here at the Mad Nachimera. It's a beautiful evening. Just preparations underway ahead of the red carpet opening in about half an hour's time.
All right, Danny, we're going to check in with you in a short while. For now, Danny Norton is live at Dubai International Film Festival. The Mini Cooper there, I guess, kind of in line with the fact that they're celebrating lots to do with British film this year. But one person who perked up ever so slightly when he heard the words Mini Cooper, Italian Job, Michael Caine, Get Carter, which is 70s to be fair, is Bill Carter, who is here. Nice to see you, Bill.
Yeah, good evening.
Chief Systems and Innovation Officer at Autodata Middle East. Imtiaz Giado is here, Managing Partner at Motoring Middle East as well. Imtiaz, nice to see you.
Nice to see you as always, Tim.
So, do you know what? It's good this, because if you have a question about your car value, something's going wrong, something is... sounds crunchy in it, perhaps. I don't know quite what crunchy sounds like, but you know what I mean, Bill. You can put that question to Bill. He's happy to answer questions today. If you want to talk about movie cars, Imtiaz Giado has perhaps the ultimate movie car.
I do have
and drives it every day, don't you?
Well, every other weekend. I do get a lot of cars going through at Motoring Middle East, so yeah, when I get the chance.
But this is actually, I was amazed by this. I only learned this a couple of weeks ago, the last time you were on this segment. You own a Back to the Future car, and it is your, in theory, it's your daily driver. I know you don't use it as a daily driver because you daily drive whoever gives you a car.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, and it runs brilliantly.
It does run brilliantly. It actually placed third on the Chopard Rally, so yes, it is even a motorsport champion.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's only got about 11,000 miles on it since 1981. And it's a fantastic car. Absolutely fantastic.
What do you think of it, Bill? The Back to the Future. I'm calling it the Back to the Future car. I should say DeLorean.
The DeLorean, yeah. I've always been a fan of them from when they first came out, and the first one I ever saw in the UK when I was working at the AA. And I just fell in love. I thought it was just a brilliant idea.
That doesn't sound good that you saw it at the AA.
Well, yeah.
Was it on a flatbed?
No, it wasn't. I was actually inspecting it because somebody wanted to buy it.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh,
he did.
Congrats for him. Prices have gone through the roof.
Yeah.
Which I'm very happy about.
And if you don't mind me asking, I mean, it must be worth some money now. You don't have to give me the value, but I mean, they are worth something.
There aren't many. Put me on the spot there.
No, I would never do that.
You would. Well, they used to be really cheap because most of the 80s, they were a joke. Most of the 90s, they were an even bigger joke.
Right.
The thing was, it hasn't really come around to the point where millennials have picked up the film and taken it as close to their hearts as they have today. But now that they have, and people my age who grew up with the film, not the car as built it, are now in a position to buy it. So the prices have started to really rocket up. They were as cheap as $10,000 or $15,000 just 5 years ago,
really?
And now they're hitting $60,000, $70,000.
Not bad, is it? And, of course, we were talking about this before. You can get parts relatively easily because there were loads of parts. That wasn't such a difficulty.
Well, they were very ambitious. They built 20,000 cars worth of parts and they only built 9,000 cars.
Yeah.
And now you can just go to DeLorean.com, I'm not even kidding, and get any part you want.
Yeah.
It's something, isn't it?
One click.
And unpainted.
Unpainted. Mm. Although they were actually sold in Dubai. As I said this to you last time, actually sold in Dubai briefly through a dealership that's based in Sharjah. And they were all painted.
An ultimate movie car? One of the old, I mean, it's an iconic movie car. I'm not sure it's an ultimate movie car.
I think it's the most recognizable car of the 80s. I think there are a lot of candidates for Ultimate Movie Car. Just for example, the Gone in 60 Seconds Eleanor Mustang, which I had the privilege of driving, that is my Ultimate Movie Car. And the Steve McQueen Mustang again from Bullet also happens to be a 67. Whew, there are so many movie cars. Where do you even begin? There's TV shows as well, Magnum Ferrari 308.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of TV shows. Obviously, I'm going to go in a Knight Rider direction, not because there was anything particularly great about the car, but a car that talks to you, to me, when that came out in the 80s, cars are going to be doing that soon. Cars are going to be driving us soon. So it's kind of ahead of its time in a weird way.
Well, I think also when you look at the ones you mentioned earlier, the Mini Cooper S in the original Italian job, I had a very hot Cooper S.
When you say hot, Bill, does that mean stolen?
No, I didn't actually steal it.
Oh, right.
Some of the parts might have come from dubious places. But it was a very very highly tuned. When I finished my apprenticeship, I treated myself. I'd always wanted a Cooper S.
Right.
So I bought this Cooper S, rebuilt the engine, took the engine out to 1301, put an 8-port cross-flow head on it, 4 DCOEs, went to works on it. I actually had to cut a hole in the bonnet for the carburetor trumpets to stick out the front.
Because you just got a taller bonnet.
No. That wouldn't work.
So you'd be able to see past the bonnet then.
Yeah. So it was reverse rims and all sorts of things on it, lowered.
I want to come back to this point, because you're talking about a car from the 60s, and that's your era in terms of what's cool. I think the car for you is the car which you grew up with in the media that you grew up with. Mm. So for people from the 2000s, I'm not sure what a cool car is. Is it Vin Diesel's Charger from Fast and the Furious? By the way, I happen to know the man who owns it, among other things. The off-road Charger from the last one that tumbled down a hill. And it works.
I'm trying to follow what you're saying. You said stuff there and I thought that sounds scientific to me. How cool did you think you looked, Bill?
In those days, it wasn't about being cool. You just wanted to make something go fast and handle properly, rather than, a bog standard car. Because you were in the trade and you supposedly knew what you was doing. You would try all sorts of different things. And I used to, every car I owned in those days was tuned in one way or the other. So all sorts of bizarre vehicles I had.
But does it matter if it's a movie car? I mean, if you're driving a Batmobile, for example, it doesn't matter how it handles. Everybody's going to go, wow, that's Batmobile.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's a lot to do with why people buy cars, though, isn't it? Simple fact is, you buy a car because it is kind of in many ways a reflection of you, I suppose, for lots of people, even if we don't admit it. That's an awful lot to do with it. It's a lot of marketing choices to be made. It is Drive Live Talks Automotive. Imtiaz Giardos here from Motoring Middle East. Bill Carter from Auto Data Middle East. If you have a question to do with cars, if there's something wrong, if there's something right, even, or you're thinking of value, or just have a need to use the wisdom of Bill Carter, you're welcome to do that on 4001 or via the free app. If you have anything else to ask Imtiaz, then feel free. We're kind of talking cars and what's going on in town and movie cars in honour of Dubai International Film Festival this afternoon.
Drive Live Talks Automotive.
And then let's get back to what we were supposed to be doing this hour. Bill Carter's here from Auto Data. Imtiaz Giardos here from Motoring Middle East. I had a couple of questions for you, gents, that came in a little while ago. And I'm going to start with this. Ishmael's put his name on this, and he's openly admitting to a midlife crisis. He says, I want something beefy and scary with all the safety, 4x4 preferred. Don't suggest mum's taxi like a Prado. I think that's what he's aiming at. So wants to look cool, but also wants to be able to transport children around, I suppose. Any thoughts on that?
That's particularly galling because my test car, literally as I drove in here, is a Prado. The brand new 2018 Prado.
They're great cars. My car, is a Prado. So I kind of understand. But I mean, you can see why.
I know exactly what he wants. What he wants is a Raptor. Really? A Ford Raptor.
Really?
Which is potentially the greatest off-road truck I've ever driven. A magnificent thing. Goes 160 kilometers per hour on the sand. So it goes really quick, because that's the limit. I think 180 is the absolute limit. But an amazing vehicle, very easy to drive. All the mod cons, air-conditioned seats, and looks amazing.
Air-conditioned seats.
Yeah. I mean, it is kitted out. Radar, cruise control, sunroof, all of the things you
price,
want.
Price, though? I mean,
quite a wide range in price, actually. Starts at 220 for a very sort of stripper-based version for people who off-road and like to put their own customizations on it. All the way up to 335 for a full long wheelbase, four-door, with all the trimmings.
Okay, so that's Imtiaz's advice there. Ishmael, Bill, what would you say?
If you got enough money, I'd go for a Bentley Bentayga.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh yes.
When you say if you've got enough money, how much money do you need to have?
About $1.5 million.
Okay. So, yeah. Ishmael, really sorry about that. Anything more, slightly more realistic?
Patrol Nismo is quite an interesting piece of kit.
That's a beefy looking
vehicle. That's quite hairy. Okay. It can be quite hairy. You know, it really depends what you want. I mean, you could say, well, you know, a Range Rover Sport, you know, if you go for the tuned version. There are in reality, it's like we were saying earlier, there are so many vehicles which are very much alike. It at the end of the day, it comes down to what your personal choice is.
It does. It comes down to taste in the end, doesn't
it? It does,
I can see myself in that.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon. Nothing looks like a Raptor.
Yeah, I kind of with that. Here's Ishmael has come back actually saying, will the Raptor help secure a new wife? Is that what it's
potentially
there for?
Potentially.
Strap her in the back.
I can't make any claims or otherwise, advertise or otherwise, but I do think it'll help.
new tagline for this program: solving the problems of male midlife crisis on every show. What about that?
Yeah.
Might work. Jason's texted in, wants to know what you think of the new LR Discovery 2017. We'll answer that in a moment.
Drive Live Talks Automotive.
We're going to get into some questions. There's a few to get through, actually. We're hoping to get back to movie stuff and what's going on this weekend. But let me put this to Bill, first of all. VJ says, thinking of a Lincoln MKX, I like the luxurious feel, general handling. What do you think?
Yeah, they're basically a very good car. I mean, it's all based on Ford technology, but let's say it's been modified to suit the Lincoln brand, so it's a much smoother ride. The engines tend to be a bit smoother. I think they're a very nice car. The only thing I would worry about is, depending on how long he wants to keep it, is what the resale value is going to be.
Okay.
To which I say buy it secondhand.
Yes.
Very good point. Who wants to take this? Arham saying, initial thoughts on the Lamborghini Urus, the SUV?
Well, I think it's the one we were talking about earlier.
Challenging to look at. Polarizing car. But again, you know, Lamborghini is the one company that can claim an actual off-road heritage, because they did the LM002 in the 80s. Yeah. So they can actually do an off-road car because they've done it before, unlike anybody else. I think it looks exactly the way a Lamborghini should look. I think it's growing on me. It's got the performance. It'll be a carpet of these from Dubai to Burj Al Arab by next year, and you will have to walk on them because they'll be that popular. Yeah. Mark my words.
A carpet of Euruses. Maybe that is the collective noun. I don't know.
It's Euruses. It's not the other one, by the way. Lamborghini has said that.
But the thing is, didn't they start with tractors? Weren't they?
Yes.
Ferruccio Lamborghini.
So there is real heritage there.
Yeah,
tractor manufacturer.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
And if you drive the early Lamborghinis, that's kind of what they felt like.
Yeah, they did, yes. I remember driving a Miura back in the late 70s and thinking, why? Just why?
It's one of those beautiful cars ever made, Bill.
It is, but
and still is.
Not to live with.
I've got to say, by the way, Bill, I'm really liking the huskiness today. It's good. Yeah, you're just getting over laryngitis.
It just started yesterday. It's bizarre.
It's good. There's a future in voiceovers. Yeah. I've said that before to you, I think. Yeah. What about this? Faisal says, the VW Touareg or Porsche Cayenne S?
Depends what you want. Yeah. I mean, they're much different price brackets, aren't they, as well?
Yeah, different price brackets.
Looks
totally different to drive.
Mm. If you have the money, buy the Turbo S Cayenne. Yeah. It's not obviously, but the Touareg's a fine car.
Yeah.
But okay, all new coming one down the pike, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, soon. Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. This is my issue as well, because it's mainly guilt, I think. I feel like I'm driving a gas-guzzling 4-litre off-road beast around, which I am, and I feel like I should buy a Prius. This person, same as me, any advice? Fuel economy, I drive so much, debating changing my Land Cruiser for a Prius. It's an enormous step, but when do you take the step to hybrid or electric?
I would keep the Land Cruiser because it's a great car, and so depending on where you came from, you may never be able to drive a car like that again with the kind of fuel prices we're seeing. Yeah. Even with the increases recently, I would still say a Land Cruiser is a car that you should experience. However, go buy a Prius, a secondary car, because we ran one long term. Great car, ridiculous fuel economy, very nice to drive, very easy to live with, and in the real world you see fuel economy games. And the best part is, even though it's an electric car, and there's a lot of sanctimony around the Prius and all of that, if you just put all of that aside, it's a nice car to own and drive.
Yeah. It seems I've looked at them, and guilt is making me head in that direction. I haven't done it yet. My son will kill me because he wants to drive my car in 4 years' time. So that's a hurdle. But I've been in loads in different cities. There are taxis in Rome, wherever you go in Europe, they tend to be taxis. They're great.
They are. You know, I drove one of the prototypes back in the UK back in the dim, distant past. It was the only one in the country, and it was a bit primitive in it had a big switch on a dash that, you know, you change the drive modes.
Yeah, it does.
And it was based on a very old model then. And even then you thought, you know, if they can get this right, this has to be the stepping stone. Because I still do not believe that plug-in electric is the way to go. Fuel cell technology is the way to go. Hydrogen fuel cell. There's okay. No doubt about that.
So this is the stopgap until we're ready for that.
Yeah,
until
without a doubt.
But I will say very briefly that the new cars that are coming down the pike, the Chevrolet Bolt, the Renault Zoe, the electric cars with 400 kilometers of range, and I'm conspicuously not including the Tesla Model 3 in this because I'm yet to see one in the flesh. But the Bolt will be available in this market by the end of next year. That's a car that can go to Abu Dhabi and back comfortably.
No trouble at all. Very
so
good.
So that's
range.
A no-compromise electric car.
And then I mean, those really do change the game, don't they? Yes. Because they are affordable, and all of a sudden the range anxiety thing is
affordable.
Almost, well, more affordable than a Tesla. Let's put it that way.
I think they're saying, 135 price?
I think 129, basically, starting each price, yeah.
Well, compare it to a Tesla, that's certainly more affordable, isn't
exactly.
It? Okay.
It's a premium product.
Final question here, and I just want to put one question to you for the weekend. Thinking of buying a ZL1 Camaro. Thoughts, please. Renier. Is asking who wants that?
You mean ZL1 Camaro because ZR1's a Corvette. Sorry to be pedantic.
Yeah. It's a ZL. It's a ZL1 Camaro.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah,
do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Good okay. car.
Do it
great
now.
Car.
Uncompromising. Just get on with it.
650 horsepower.
Yeah, you can't go far wrong.
Best car ever made. Yeah.
don't drive it in the wet though.
Fine.
Don't drive it in the wet.
Actually, I'm going to pick Faisal up here on one other text he sent in. VW Touareg or Porsche KNS. He's answering another question there, actually. But he's asking another question here. What do you think of the 2015 BMW M3 F80? Is that right? What should I expect to pay for a low mileage, excellent condition, full option? White with red leather. Okay. Well, if you can find that, I suppose you can in this market.
Yeah, you can find anything. You look hard enough. Price-wise, that's difficult at the moment. No, I'm not prepared to stick a number on that at the moment.
Wouldn't do that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, drop me a text later and I'll read it out for Faisal then. Yeah. That, unfortunately, is all the time we've got. I was going to ask you for greatest movie car. I'm going to do it just very briefly. Greatest movie car of all time in honour of Dubai International Film Festival. Imchen, first of all.
Left field choice, Mad Max Interceptor.
Oh, I hadn't thought of Mad Max. I like that. Okay. With nitrous and the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, with the supercharger and everything.
Yeah. Okay. Bill?
I'd still with a Mini Cooper S.
Mini Cooper S. Yeah. Your version with the hole in the bonnet and the whole bit. All right, then. Bill Carter's Chief Systems and Innovation Officer, Autodata Middle East. Nice to see you, Bill. Thank you for coming in. Husky, you were this week. In Shangiato, Managing Partner, Motoring Middle East. Nice to see you, too.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.